We need more social services. We need an area where youth can go and be themselves. They need a kick in the ass is what they need. Welcome to the Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your host, America Sheriff David Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to help me here. I see it from a different perspective, that's all. And that's why I hope you tune into the show. And I just can't figure out all of the angst over Fox News Channel taking Tucker Carlson's show away from him, the time slot anyway. And I just can't understand all of the hand-wringing and the angst from people who watch the show, from people on the right. And I'm going to explain why. And like I said, maybe you can help me understand it from a different perspective. And I'll do the same for you. First of all, Tucker Carlson is an employee of the Fox News Channel. Whether he's been fired or not, actually, I don't know, but it's irrelevant. He's an employee. And when you're an employee of somebody or some place, some corporation, some business, some company, you're at their mercy. And I know it might be a little different when we talk about a cable news network, because the host does have a lot of control over the show, the content, the angle they want to take, the opinion they want to espouse. I get that, but it isn't total control. What happened to Tucker Carlson at Fox News is inside baseball. What do I mean by inside baseball? It was an employee decision. Whether it was smart or not has no relevancy. Whether it cost them billions of dollars in ad revenue and in viewers, yeah, I mean, it would make you scratch your head as to why, but the fact is, they get to take that network in any direction that they want to. And we don't have, the viewers don't have any say, and we don't have to agree with it. Now, let me preface what I'm going to say from here forward about Tucker Carlson. I know Tucker Carlson. Are we good friends? No. Have we talked? Several times. But here's the thing. As I've said to you, and it's why this is called Straight Talk, I will not let my relationship cloud my judgment about people or about a situation. I won't let it cloud my opinion because I happen to like somebody. I like Tucker Carlson. Like I said, I know him, but I'm not going to let that get in the way. But here's where I want to take this thing. When I said I need some help in understanding the angst about Tucker Carlson. I get asked a lot. Hey, what do you think's going to happen to Tucker Carlson? Hey, did you hear what happened to Tucker Carlson? What do you think about it? And I say, it's none of my business. That's between Tucker Carlson and his employer. If, in fact, he's still employed there. There's some question about that, but like I said, I don't care. It's inside baseball. Happens every time, especially in the news business. Bill O'Reilly was asked recently about this flap, and he said, this is the cruelest industry in the world. The news business, the media industry, and he's probably right. I mean, look at it this way. Fox News, they got rid of Bill O'Reilly when he was at the top of his game. He had the number one show in cable news. He was their cash cow. And I realized his was a little different because there were some accusations of sexual harassment and all that other nonsense. And I say nonsense not because I want to be flippant about it, but that seems to be the, what, reason du jour to take people down, just accuse them of sexual harassment. So I'm not here to stand in judgment of whether he was involved in that O'Reilly, but they got rid of Bill O'Reilly. Fox News got rid of Megyn Kelly, who was also one of the leaders in ratings, because for Fox News, it's all about ratings. Ratings sell advertisers. Or attract advertisers, I should say. But again, what I'm talking about now is inside baseball. That's what I mean when that's inside baseball. I don't know what's going on inside the offices of Fox News, nor do I care. The way I saw Tucker Carlson when he sat in front of a camera doing his top-rated show, he's a performer. That's what he is, and I don't mean that pejoratively. He's there to perform, to attract eyeballs to the sets, to attract viewers. And he did a hell of a good job of it. But here's the mistake I think that we make sometimes. We make this, and when I say we, because I try to be clear and not speak in ambiguous terms. When I say we, I'm talking about people on the right. I'm talking about the conservative movement. I remind people all of the time, I get to talk all across this country to conservative groups, and I remind them, don't make this about people. Make this about the movement. The movement is self-rule. That, I think, is at the heart of being a conservative. Self-governance. We want to govern ourselves. We don't want a strong central government lording over us. And that's what's happening right now. So we're trying to save the Republic and we're trying to save the Constitution because those are the, you know, the hallmarks of self-government. Stay out of my way. Limited involvement from a central government. Limited. So when I say don't make this about people, I say that because people come and go in this movement. You can go back to Ronald Reagan. What I saw Ronald Reagan as, the spiritual and cultural leader of the conservative movement. That's all. And we got 8 years out of him. And guess what? He's done. There's nothing we can do about it. That's what I mean when I say people come and go. But the conservative movement has to go on. Every movement needs a cultural and a spiritual leader. Nothing more. That's the face of the movement, but it's not the movement. And I think we take our eye off the ball too often. When we start looking at some of these people in this movement and act like, oh, you know, like they defeated Trump. Well, the movement's not over. He happened to be the driver of the vehicle, the cultural and spiritual leader. That's how I saw him. Yeah, he was the president of the United States, but he wasn't the movement. He didn't start this movement. Ronald Reagan didn't start the movement, but he articulated it well to resonate with people. Yeah, that's the person we want to be. We want to be like him. That's what Ronald Reagan was, a cultural and spiritual leader. So taking this a little further, there's a book. This book is not that new. As a matter of fact, it's used still to this day, and it's one of the top books used in business schools. And it's called The Starfish and the Spider, The Unstoppable Power of Leaderless Organizations, and that's where I'm going with this and with this Tucker Carlson thing. Oh, by the way, here's another example of people come and go. Rush Limbaugh, unfortunately, was taken from us soon, too early in this movement. Rush Limbaugh did not see himself as the leader of the conservative movement. He saw himself maybe as the cultural and spiritual face of the movement, and he was. But unfortunately, he died, and that's another example. I see people come and go. The movement has to go on, and we need to find cultural and spiritual leaders. We don't need to find, per se, a leader as if this is a centralized movement, centralized power structure. Those will get you into trouble. Especially in this day and age, the way the left is taking out the leaders. And it leaves us in disarray. And I think that leads to a lot of how or why people are so shook up about the Tucker Carlson. Oh, we lost one of our leaders. Well, first of all, I don't think Tucker was a spiritual and cultural leader of the conservative movement. He was effective at what he did, and he motivated people and inspired people, no doubt about that. But Fox News took him out. So I think if we have a better understanding of the difference between a centralized movement and a decentralized movement, I think that you will then better understand me and where I come from, and I'm just one man's view. So I look at this book, The Starfish and the Spider. I would suggest you get it and read it. It's not that difficult to read. It's about 200 pages, maybe a little less. It's powerful. And it, like I said, the subtitle, The Unstoppable Power of Leaderless Organizations. That's how I see the conservative movement. We need a leaderless organization because the people will come and go. The face of the movement will come and go, but the movement has to go on. So let's start with, I'm just going to read a couple things from this book here. Maybe I could save you the reading of, or the purchasing of the book to get a basic understanding of what I'm talking about here. You know, with a centralized system or movement, you have top down, you have a leader, you have a hierarchy, you have command and control, you have strict rules. Those are effective in certain situations. They are. Companies, corporations, you want to control your employees to an extent. Yeah, and it works for that. But here's the thing. You know, with a centralized organization, it says it's easy to understand. You have a clear leader who's in charge, and there's a specific place where decisions are made, the boardroom, the corporate headquarters, so on and so forth. But this is called, this type of organization is coercive because the leaders call the shots. When a CEO fires you, you're out. Fox News. Use command and control to keep order in your organization to make it efficient and function from day to day. Rules need to be set and enforced or the system collapses. I said in certain situations, that's effective, but I don't think it is in politics. And what we need to work toward is a decentralized system. And on that, it says here, on the other hand, they're a little trickier to understand. In a decentralized organization, there's no clear leader, no hierarchy, and no headquarters. If and when a leader does emerge, that person has little power over others. The best that person can do is influence people to lead by example, an open system. That was Ronald Reagan and others through history. That was Jesus Christ. That was Moses. That was Abraham, in a biblical sense. That was George Washington. And you can go on and on and on to find that sort of, just a spiritual and a cultural leader. So it says here, the power in a decentralized system is distributed among all the people and across geographic regions. So this book gives an example. Well, let's talk about the title, The Starfish and the Spider, and the reason why those examples are used. Here's from the book. Like the spider, the starfish appears to have a bunch of legs coming out of a central body, but that's where the similarities end. See, the starfish is decentralized. See, with a spider, you get what you see is what you get. A body, a head, and legs. But starfish are very different, this book says. The starfish doesn't have a head. Its central body isn't even in charge. In fact, the major organs are replicated throughout each and every arm. If you cut a starfish in half, you'll be in for a surprise. The animal won't die, and pretty soon you'll have two starfish to deal with. You see what I mean with this movement? We need to stay decentralized and not see ourselves as a top-down with pure leaders, because when they take the leaders out, we're in big trouble. We become like the spider. You cut off the spider's head, it's dead. A starfish, on the other hand, as this book says, you cut off its leg, you know what? Or you cut it in half, it grows a new starfish. Going back to the book here, starfish have an incredible quality to them. If you cut off an arm, most of these animals grow a new arm. And with some varieties, such as the Lynchia or long-arm starfish, the animal can replicate itself from just a single piece of the arm. They can achieve this magical regeneration because in reality, a starfish is a neutral network, not a central network. It's basically a network of cells. Get this, for a starfish to move, one of the arms must convince the other arm that it's a good thing to do so. Convince. That's what I'm talking about with leaderless organizations. A leaderless organization, the people who are the cultural and spiritual leaders have no real power. They don't coerce you into doing things. They have to convince you that this is the right direction. So in other words, getting back to the book here, the arm starts moving, and then in a process that no one fully understands, the other arms cooperate and move as well. The brain doesn't yay or nay the decision. In truth, there isn't even a brain to declare a yay or a nay. The starfish doesn't have a brain. There is no central command. And why that's effective for the conservative movement is as long as they continue to take our leaders out, or they come and go, like you serve your 8 years, or you're no longer in an elected position. We can't just look at this that only the elected people can have the say, can have the power. It's everybody. It's spread across the spectrum. Everybody in a leaderless, decentralized organization has power. So this thing goes on to use the Apache Indian tribe as an example. You know, there were many Indian tribes, going back to the beginning of this country, Spaniards came in and they moved into Mexico and they started taking out the Indian tribes, the Aztecs, the Incas. You know how they did it? Kill the leader and steal the gold. Chaos ensues. The tribe disintegrates. That's how they did it. Take out the leader. Steal the gold. Kill the leader. So we're talking metaphorically here, like with, if you want to use Tucker Carlson, they took out a leader. And now we appear to be in disarray. The same with Trump. They took out Trump. Oh my God, what do we do? The same with Rush Limbaugh. Oh, Rush died. What do we do? And out of all of those, I think the biggest loss was Rush Limbaugh because he was the cultural and spiritual leader of the movement. He had no power. He had no political power. He couldn't make anybody listen. He couldn't make anybody go in a certain direction. He had to convince people. And he had to be able to articulate as to why that was in the best interest of the movement. So they used the Apache Indian tribe. Once the Spaniards got rid of most of these Indian tribes, they moved into New Mexico where the Apache Indians were. And you know what? They had a hell of a time with the Apaches. Why? They were decentralized. They were a leaderless Indian tribe. So let me go back to the book here. As it said, the Apaches had a spiritual and cultural leader, and they were called the Nantan. The Nantan led by example and held no coercive power. That's Rush Limbaugh. Tribe members followed the Nantan because they wanted to, not because they had to. So it says here, one of the most famous Nantans in history was Geronimo, who defended his people against the American forces for decades. The Americans couldn't take out the Apaches because the kill the leader, steal the gold didn't work. The Apaches, by the way, had no gold. And he really had no leader, a spiritual and cultural leader. So, you know, it wasn't like absolutely leaderless, but it wasn't a central command top-down type of leadership. So it says here, Geronimo never commanded an army. Rather, he himself started fighting, and everyone around him joined in. The idea was, if Geronimo's taking up arms, maybe it's a good idea. Geronimo has been right in the past, so it makes sense to fight alongside him. You wanted to follow Geronimo if you wanted to. If you didn't want to follow Geronimo, you didn't. And nobody in the tribe did anything. See, the power lies, according to this example here, I'm reading from the book, the power lies with each individual, and you're free to do what you want. That's self-rule, self-governance, ladies and gentlemen. Self-rule. We do what we want to do. Stay the hell out of our way. But they still had an organization, the Apache tribe. So, you know, when you look at this, it just makes a lot of sense that we stay leaderless and we stay decentralized in this movement, because it's going to be very difficult then for the left to completely take us out. Well, we end up going into the desert for 40 years in disarray. And that has happened throughout history. And then at some point, a leader emerges, not a dictator, not a command and control person, a cultural and spiritual leader who leads by example, and the people in the movement look and go, hey, if it's good enough for them, that guy, it's good enough for me. Hey, Geronimo's doing it. He's taking up arms. Maybe we should too, but you had a choice. So that's another reason why within this conservative movement, you have different people, and, you know, especially in elections, and we got to stop seeing this as just about elections. That's where a lot of the infighting starts. No, I don't want Trump. No, I want this person. No, I want DeSantis. No, and that's okay. We have to remember this isn't about who's leading the thing. It's how they're leading it. And with everything I've just explained, I'm sorry, but I didn't see Tucker Carlson as a cultural and spiritual leader of the conservative movement. I saw him as a person who was involved, like the rest of the organization, doing their thing and doing their part. But my gosh, the guy was making $20 million a year. Tucker Carlson, good. Good for him. That's great stuff. I wish I was making $20 million a year doing podcasts. And I'm not trying to be the de facto leader of the conservative movement. I'm just trying to be one of the fighters. I'm a foot soldier now. Kind of like the Apache Indian tribe members, leading by example, making sure that there's no coercion in this movement. Nobody that comes along and in a very destructive way tries to take over as the leader. We can have many leaders. That's what the Apaches had. Everybody was a leader. That's how they stayed strong. And like I said, people come and go. We got to get over this, that when we have a casualty, and we will through any means that you can come up with, right? Your guy loses an election. I use that term neutrally. All right. Your guy loses an election. We have conservative female governors, and I understand all that. I get it. But let's not get bogged down into that nonsense. But they take out a leader, and then we're just kind of Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, was taken out. But the movement has to go on. New people have to emerge. And we can't fight over who that leader is going to be. It'll happen organically. Geronimo did not appoint himself the cultural and spiritual leadership of the Apache Indian tribe. Nor did Moses, in leading the Israelites, that's what we called it at the time. Neither did Jesus. Neither did George Washington. George Washington didn't appoint himself as the leader of breaking away from King George and the crown. The people did. Huh? Let's follow George. It's making a lot of sense here. George accepted that. I mean, keep this in mind. George Washington took over the Continental Army. It's in an area in Boston. There's a park along this Freedom Trail, I think they call it. He was 26 years old. Now, he was appointed as head of the Continental Army. 26 years old. Why? The people at the time thought, here's the best guy to lead the movement right now. George did not say, I'm the leader. You follow my rules. That's how organizations, companies, movements come apart. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Do you know he did not want, when you know the real history, by the way, there's a new book coming out on his life. It's going to be pretty good. I read a write-up on it. And it's supposed to be unvarnished, so it isn't just this guy walked on water. Guy had a lot of flaws. But you know, he at first turned down, he didn't want to be the cultural and spiritual leader of the civil rights movement. He turned it down. He understood the pressure. He understood the attacks that he would endure. He was a preacher, for heaven's sake. Very articulate one. But also, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that the civil rights movement needed a face, someone to personify what was going on. He was the best guy to do it. So he begrudgingly accepted. And I like people like that. People who don't want it, but they're kind of like nudged into doing it. Well, I don't want to run for this office. But there's a lot of pressure to do so because people, they're yearning for a cultural and a spiritual leader in the movement. And that's what we face right now. That's why I don't look at any of these people running for office as to be the savior. They're not going to be the savior. It'll happen organically. That's what happened with Reagan. There were a lot of people, when Reagan won his first nomination, there were a lot of people within the Republican Party that didn't want him. The same with Trump. Do you know that's why I got behind Trump early on when it wasn't the most popular thing to do? I saw and I felt there's something different here. I saw Trump as a cultural and spiritual leader of freedom and liberty. You know, and then we get people, well, he's not really conservative. Well, you put whatever label you want. I knew this guy was different. And I got in early on. And I tried to help because I said, this guy's different. Forget about all this other stuff going around. The flaws. Yes, he's a flawed man. We all are. But I felt at this particular point in history, we need this guy. And we got him. But then they took him out. So the movement still has to go on. Now he's going to try to make a comeback. And I'm not here to raise the pom-poms for Donald Trump. He can do that himself. That's his job. But again, don't make it about people. The people who go, ah, Trump, the never Trumpers, they're making it about people. And I tell them, I including, you know, the diehard Trump supporters, I go, don't make this about people. What if he doesn't win? Then what? Like the Apache Indian tribe. They just moved on. This is about self-government, self-governance and self-rule, ladies and gentlemen. That's the hallmark of the conservative movement. We can get into all these other tenets of it, right? Limited government, strong military and all that stuff. But it's about self-rule. And who embodies that? And there's no finish line. We'll always need new people to emerge and take this thing over and be the driver. That's all they are. They're the driver of the vehicle. For as long as we want them to be, we the people have the right to change drivers. It causes a lot of infighting. And it has to be managed, and that's what I try to do, because oftentimes when I'm in these public circles, I'm surrounded by a lot of different views and different opinions on as to who should be the driver of the vehicle. I get it. There's no one person. I always say, well, let's see what happens. Have the primaries, have the election. Let's see. But we can't see them as the savior. Because the cultural and spiritual leaders can emerge from outside the political process. Look at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Had no title. No political title, and had no real political power. He was not an elected official. Let's stop seeing that only elected officials can save this, can save this republic. It's not true.
The country is under attack from within like never before. Bulldog TV and its community is leading the way to an open and honest media. Join Bulldog TV today by following Bulldog TV on Facebook and Truth Social.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. I hope you have a better understanding of at least where I'm coming from. You believe what you want to believe. But every time they take out one of our, what I think, it's a cultural and spiritual leader, we have to move on. A new one will emerge, and it's not because they're elected. The ones that I named, they weren't elected. They were needed at the time, and they understood that, and they saw it. They sacrificed themselves knowing this isn't going to be fun. Look at Trump now. He knew this isn't going to be fun. Trying to destroy the guy, literally. Destroy him. They killed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. How many people would sign up for that? The last thing I want to talk about quickly here, because it came up again during the Tucker Carlson situation. People, what should Tucker do next? Tucker will figure this out. He didn't get to where he is in life by needing advice or seeking advice from David Clark. He'll be fine. He'll land on his feet. He'll take some time. He'll do what he wants to do. You know, people, well, he should go work over here. Well, he should go join this guy. First of all, he just came out of that. Working for somebody else. You're at their mercy. Why should he jump back into that? I wish him well. He'll land on his feet. He didn't spend every penny he's made at Fox. $20 million a year? And he's been in that time slot for what they said, 5 years? Ladies and gentlemen, that's $100 million. That's a tenth of a billion. That's a lot of money. He'll be fine. And I wish him all the success in the world. But I'm not going to pieces because Fox News took his time slot away. It's their right to do. Even if it destroys the company, then we can all stand by and watch it crumble and we can kind of snicker. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? But anyway, some very prominent people in chiming in on what should Carlson do next, suggesting, in fact, two prominent radio talk personalities threw out the idea that, well, DeSantis or Trump should name Carlson their vice president. Say, he's going to be my vice president. Are you kidding me? Why the heck would Tucker Carlson want to be a vice presidential running mate for anybody? You know what Barry Goldwater said about being vice president? Because at the time he was running for the nomination, they tried to talk him into being not the nominee, but accept a vice presidential role. He said, absolutely not. Barry Goldwater said, the vice presidency is where political careers go to die. And he's right. Vice president? I'd rather be a cabinet member. Why? Because then I can implement and affect public policy based on the president's vision. The president's just supposed to set the vision. Cabinet members then can set policy. A vice president can't set policy. That's the president's job. It's a nothing job. It's ceremonial. And it doesn't make the ticket. The top of the ticket, the president, is what makes the ticket. The vice presidency has to do with this constitutional succession plan. Tucker Carlson doesn't want to be vice president, nor would I name him vice president. Cabinet, he doesn't want anything to do with this stuff, the actual political stuff. It's a waste of time for people who can, they got better things to do with their life. When I say, now somebody has to serve Tucker Carlson for vice president. And then there's Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon suggested the day after Tucker was removed from his time slot that Tucker should or would run for president. What is this? Tucker Carlson would want nothing to do with being president of the United States. He's better off being out here with the rest of us in control of his own life, his own well-being, commenting on it, attacking the left when he can. That's a more enjoyable and rewarding position than being vice president of the United States. And here's another one. You know, these articles come out and I read them and I just shake my head, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another one. Trump should name Kerry Lake as vice president of the United States. Are you kidding me? I've met Kerry Lake in a number of instances. I like Kerry Lake. First of all, I don't know why she'd want to be, because like I said, that's where political careers go to die. She doesn't add anything to the ticket. I'll challenge it. What does she add to the ticket? Well, we like her. That's why tickets need to be balanced. There's a reason why Trump took Mike Pence, because Trump's the firebrand, and he needed somebody to balance that out. You don't need another firebrand. You don't engender a lot of confidence from independent voters without a balanced ticket. Kerry Lake just wouldn't work. That's all. Taking nothing away from her. I like Kerry Lake. She adds nothing to the ticket. Here's another one that's been thrown out there. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've said enough about her in my podcast. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Not as vice president, not on a ticket for vice president, not a Trump, not even a DeSantis or anybody else. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, it doesn't fit. She's got high negatives. And independent voters don't like her. And this is a popularity contest. Presidential elections are popularity contests. She's not popular outside the hardcore conservative wing of the party. I don't remember that hardcore conservative wing. I wouldn't make a good vice presidential candidate either. Why? Yeah, a lot of conservatives like me. We got to win some independent voters. I might be able to, with some help, turn people, independent voters' thinking around about me. But you want balance to the ticket. I'm like Trump in that I'm a firebrand. I don't add balance to, I might add color to the ticket if you're into identity politics, which would be a mistake. Picking me for that reason, I'd be insulted by it. So, you know, time will tell. I like the idea of the, I get to throw mine out there too. I guess everybody else is. Who's the congressional representative for upstate New York? Can't remember her name. Reasoned, well thought out. I wish I could think of her name, but I just can't. Stefanik? I think that might be it. Elaine Stefanik. Anyway, well thought out, smart, measured, not a flamethrower. I think she could win over independent voters. I think. Because she balances the ticket. People want to know the ticket's balanced. When Obama ran, you know, he took old Joe? Because the rap or the danger for Obama's people said, well, he's only a freshman senator. He's not ready for this. So he had to add some experience to the ticket. It balances the ticket. Trump took Pence for that reason. Balances the ticket. Because Trump had no elected office experience and people were talking about it. Wow, he's never even held a position. And they're right in questioning that because it's a huge job. It is very hard. And people are going to want to know, does he have a steadying hand in there? They're going to want to know that sort of thing. That's what he said about George W. Bush when he ran. Well, he's just daddy's boy. Yeah, he was governor of Texas, but if you know the role of the governor of Texas is not real powerful like some of the other states. So they said he's not experienced. So he picks Dick Cheney because of his years of experience. People felt a little more comfortable, not the independents per se, they don't like Dick Cheney, but within the Republican Party, they felt a little more comfortable with George W. Bush because he had Dick Cheney along. That's what you do with the vice president. You don't just pick somebody and throw out names because, wow, yeah, you know, look at her, look at him. Oh, yeah, he should take Tucker Carlson. It makes no sense, ladies and gentlemen. So I just caution, not telling you, trying to be like Geronimo. Just caution you from going after these shiny objects and let this stuff happen organically, because it will. I'd be the last person to tell Donald Trump who to take for running mate, or Ron DeSantis, whoever runs the nomination. I wouldn't tell them who to take, but I know what they're smart enough to do sometimes. You need someone to balance the ticket. Whatever you are, you really want the opposite of. So if you're this like mild-mannered, whatever, you might want to pick a VP who's got a little more energy, you know, because optics matter. Because I said it's a popularity contest.
Attention, patriots. Looking for a great book? Let me recommend The Greatest Story Ever Told. The We the People Bible is available for the first time in history. This Bible is for those who believe it is time to give America back to God. Faith is being targeted, and our country's founding beliefs are being targeted. The We the People Bible is restoring what there is an attempt to remove, the preservation of faith and the preservation of America. One of the most unique features of this Bible is that it includes the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the Pledge of Allegiance as a bonus. This makes it a perfect heirloom to pass on to the generations to come. It is time to give America back to God, and this Bible is a great way to do just that. Get one for yourself and another as a gift for a friend or family member. Go to americasheriff.com and click on the Bible link to order today while supplies last.
Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America's Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com.
This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.